Oh no, what's that? Oh no, I've been digitized? My whole body's been downloaded into some sort of computer server? I don't know what to do. I guess I'll watch this basketball game? We saw Space Jam New Legacy, and you know what that means. This time.
How did this get made?
With Peter and Chris. This time.
It's How Did This Get Made, the podcast.
Hello, people of Earth. I'm Peter Carlone, and this week we are talking about a kids' movie released July 16th, 2021, directed by Malcolm D. Lee, starring Don Cheadle and some others. If you aren't familiar with the film, it is a reboot of the 1996 classic film Space Jam, in which a basketball star, in our case LeBron James, has to save his whole family, nay, a portion of the whole world, with his basketball skills, all while fighting animated characters from the Warner Brothers intellectual property library. There's so much to talk about, and I can't wait to get into it with my co-hosts Chris Wilson and Stacey McGonigal. Chris and Stacey, how are you doing?
We are doing good. I spoke for Stacey. I'm doing good. Stacey, you take that.
You know, I was doing good. I was wearing a tank top and feeling really confident, and then I got arm insecure, and I've put this cardigan on, and now I'm warm, and it was a mistake. But I'm happy to be here.
And I think it's hard for us to be like to help make you feel better about that, because I want to, but right. I also don't want to come off as a guy who was like, oh, I liked looking at you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we thought that you looked good. Nice to begin with.
You look nice both ways.
We didn't want to. We would never say that, as for fear of, you know, being too male, coming down to masculine and the male gaze.
Or even just mean.
Or mean.
Oh, you know.
Well, by saying that she looks nice?
Well, I'm just saying, like, Stacey, can we say you shouldn't have arm insecurity, or is that creepy?
Listen, I would love to hear that I shouldn't have arm insecurity. I think that's a beautiful opening for a great conversation for both sides. So,
and of course, we are here to not talk about arms in any way today, because we are here to talk about Space Jam.
Well, we can't talk about arms because LeBron hardly used his in the film. So,
and we're into it. That's a good point. And we're off to the races. Overall, I think this film, it was a wet fart of a movie. It was really, I didn't like it.
And you know,
I didn't enjoy it. I've seen worse films for sure, but this is among them.
And I would argue that saying that it is a wet fart is almost insulting to a wet fart, because a wet fart meant that you had to prep, you had to eat, you had to do something exciting.
There's work that goes into a wet fart. Exactly.
Of course. There's something to hold the wet fart, to support it.
Yeah.
So this was sort of like a dry gas, and it wasn't even a fart. It just sort of leaked out.
Yeah, it was like, was that a fart or was that a tree rustling? What's happening? Space Jam 2.
Yeah, and I guess to recap, if you didn't see Space Jam 2, it's basically, it does follow similar plots to Space Jam 1, which we'll be, you know, talking about here too, in that some sort of outside force is making everybody play a basketball game.
Yeah.
In order to, Space Jam 2, it's unclear, really. I don't know what Al G. Rhythm, Don Cheadle's character, really wants to do.
Listen,
he wants to use them, their intellectual property, I guess, or their physical property, and put them in any movie and anything that he wants, I think.
We got to get to his motivations first, but I think it's really important for a film like this to understand all of the characters' inner motivations.
And it is a film. It is.
Yeah, and it is a film. And so if we start off at the very beginning, the thing that killed me was just like, they were having family problems in a house that was maybe $30 million.
Yeah.
So it's like the movie starts off in his private basketball court, and these two brothers are trying to figure out, like, I don't know, like, why doesn't dad love me or something like that?
Well, and that's true. May I just quickly correct, because the movie does start off with young LeBron James at a basketball game,
right,
and he misses the shot because wasn't his fundamentals weren't there.
Because he loved Game Boy.
Yeah,
he was
Game
playing
Boy too much.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was having fun and doing video games.
I can't tell if this movie likes or hates video games. Like, there was this weird love-hate relationship with how bad they are for you or how good they can be or something like that. I didn't know the theme there.
Well, let me tell you, video games don't win at the end either, right? Because they still had to include a basketball, saying, I'm not going to lose focus of my happiness, which is absolutely not this video game camp that I've only wanted to go to.
Yeah. So LeBron James in the film wants his son to play basketball, and he's just interested in computer programming and and making video games. Mm-hmm. And let me say, he is the greatest video game developer of all time.
By himself, he made a AAA game. Yeah.
And he made a game that evolves and basically thinks for itself. It changes constantly as it goes. It just like... it becomes its own thing. It thinks for itself, which is incredible technology.
And I thought it was interesting that LeBron had lost a grasp on his son, considering his bedroom is what I could only describe as a mainframe.
I forgot about that. That's right. He has like, it's like you enabled his addiction to video games.
He
you bought him seven
screens.
Monitors.
Yeah, he has so many monitors. And then like, what do you think he's doing in there? And also, it was confusing off the top because I didn't realize there was a moment, and I'm wondering if you guys thought this as well, but probably not, that they might have been his real kids for some reason. Like, I was like, are these his real kids?
I had that thought too, but LeBron does have kids that are those exact ages. Those aren't his children, though.
Well, and it's good casting in that sense, but I leaned over to my friend because we were talking about the same, we were all having that same topic. Is it really the kids? And I was like, if it is, that's embarrassing because they are acting circles around their actual father, if that's the case. Like, they were clearly actors that were hired because I don't know if you guys can guess at how LeBron acts, but...
You know, he's terrible.
Oh, boy.
I don't want to put this... sorry, the cardigan has to come off, you guys. I'm so warm. But,
nice arms.
Thank you, honestly, so
Peter,
much.
Peter, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The male gaze.
Call
I'm sorry to meet
wife,
you.
Peter.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. No, you know what? When you buy a top that's a pajama top from Amazon, you want the attention that you've done a good job. But I did think that LeBron was acting like, you know, when you get hungover and you're just kind of grumpy the whole, like he just was so grumpy at his whole life, which was confusing.
Which makes sense, because if we move forward into the next part of it, you'll start to realize the way that the movie saved shoot days for LeBron by like digitizing him for a good chunk of the movie.
I was so mad. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
There was that moment compared to Space Jam 1 and Space Jam 2 where you knew, and because we all watched The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan was like on set a lot.
A lot.
He was an active part of the film. And this one for sure had that, like, LeBron James didn't. There was a part in the film where I was like, how many days did he actually shoot?
Yeah.
Because they made him a cartoon for a good half of it. Yeah. So he could just voice over, and that's an afternoon.
Yeah, he got that. Oh, he crapped that out in an afternoon, especially judging by the performance of the audio.
Well, also,
he definitely just said the lines a couple times and then
moved
on.
And that's the thing. They gave LeBron far too much opportunity to act. If you watch Space Jam, Michael Jordan doesn't have that much time to act because the Looney Tunes are actual characters in the movie.
Yes.
They have lines and they're fleshed out, and Bill Murray's there and there's lots of people to do heavy lifting, and Michael just has to stand there and be sort of charming. And in this, LeBron acts too much. He's very bad, and his character in general is dislikable. He's just like a don't have fun, no fun, fundamentals instead. And
who
Michael
doesn't?
Jordan is fun,
he's fun
in Space Jam. He makes fun of himself. Mm-hmm. He plays baseball in it off the top.
Also, I just want to point out a massive plot hole, and there will be many. But Space Jam 2, there is a scene where his son is clearly working on a video game, and LeBron comes in, and you can still see the video game, but you can also see the video game camp, whatever. But in that scene, LeBron goes, I'm going to go pitch a movie. Do you want to come? And his son goes, okay. Then they go to a meeting with Sarah Silverman. God bless her. She was trying her most. And then LeBron goes, I don't do movies. I'm a basketball player. And I thought, what the full hell is happening? And why is the internet so mad?
Why did he agree to go? Yeah, and then realize that he wasn't about it at all. Also, why was Sarah Silverman in it?
Why was Sarah Silverman
for 5 minutes?
And why did the algorithm send her a personalized email? And she was like, "Ah, perfect. The algorithm sent me an email."
Yeah. Oh yeah. So wait, what was that? The algorithm sent an email to connect LeBron, like to bring LeBron into the meeting or something?
Yes.
Like, and the algorithm set all that up.
And then the algorithm was like, "We're gonna take LeBron and put him in all these shows, but it's gonna look so shit that anyone would say, I don't want to do that. That looks bad."
Yeah. But then they're like, well, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Because also, I've used your son's video game to harness the powers of NBA players, I guess.
Yeah. The big plot hole for me was that you had a room full of studio execs, which was Sarah Silverman's time to shine, or
I think it was just Sarah Silverman, and then LeBron's assistant, for which we didn't get a who, what, where.
Oh, we never got to know anything about him. Yeah, he was just like the best friend.
Yeah.
Okay, but the big plot hole for me was that the studio people would at all give anything other than themselves credit for an idea. They were just like, a computer came up with that. Isn't that great? A whole computer came up with this pitch and idea.
And then when
they were like happy that they didn't do any work.
Yeah. But then when LeBron was like, I'm a basketball player, they were like, yeah, you're so right. This is so stupid. And I was like, but wouldn't your job be to convince him otherwise? What's this meeting?
Yeah. What is this meeting? I also think, okay, if we take one half step back, not a big step back, we got to talk about introducing LG Rhythm.
Okay.
Which is just a great, just mwah, as far as naming things go.
Right.
Yeah.
Big fan of that. And that's the thing, actually, like on paper, looking at the plot points, a part of me was like, it's kind of fun. Like, if you look at the plotting on paper, you're like, yeah, it's like a computer program. It's kind of modernized. The algorithm is like, going to like zap him in. Like, it was a clever way to get him into the animated world of the Warner Bros. IP.
Yeah.
I think you're not convinced at all by my argument.
No, listen, when we see Don Cheadle, do we get excited? Of course. When I saw him, I was like, listen, I'd also like some extra coin to buy a house. And if it was this way, then it would be this way. But I don't need to see, now call me a curmudgeon 35-year-old young woman. I don't need to see an actor moving his hands, which, you know, he just kind of did. And then in post, they figured it out.
They animate to his hands.
It looked nuts. And the alien he's working with was also nuts. Literally, as I said that, a virus and threat protection came up. Because even my computer's like, please do not talk about Don Cheadle.
So, yeah, the choice of making the main bad guy Don Cheadle of all characters had me just like, I was killing myself in the theater because I was just imagining like the perfect, so they make this movie, they're imagining their perfect audience. Mm-hmm. So it's like a little boy, little girl, like mom and dad, they go to the movie and like the little boy is like, mom, it's Don Cheadle. Like, what was their thinking there, where they were like, the bad guy will be, I don't know, you know, from Black Monday and Hotel Rwanda.
Don Cheadle.
Well, that's part of it all. That
Don Cheadle was they all.
That's the part of the movie that makes me wonder who it was even for.
Oh, totally.
And if you're wondering why I sound so much better now halfway through the episode, it's because I turned my mic on. So that's what happened.
Chris.
We
did a record test.
I know we did it, and then I didn't hit record. But what I'm saying now was that like all the references in it about Warner Brothers, you got the mask in there, you've got like Mad Max, you got the Matrix. Those are all for us, and they take up a good chunk of the movie. Mm-hmm.
A good chunk.
We're supposed to go, look at that. Isn't that fun? Yeah. I know that. Rick and Morty. Cool. No Rick kid and Morty is watching Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty had more lines than Sarah Silverman.
It's but also, so true.
Sarah Silverman isn't necessarily a kid's property. I guess maybe from... they wouldn't recognize her as the voice from Wreck-It Ralph. But like that was...
No, but...
That's
yeah,
the
and then
closest
all the
we come to like... Yeah.
Is Looney Tunes. It's slapsticky. It's classic. So that's not even really for kids anymore
but
either.
I also felt that they underwrote the Looney Tunes because like... You know, when we were all watching the movie, I was like, okay, I can easily rewrite this movie in that it's like, why did all the toons leave? Like, is it because people are like, kids are like, they have just graduated to like really intense video games? Like, we've lost a childish night naivete. Like, what, Bugs was just like, they all left. And it was like, we gotta go find them.
Great,
like,
oh yeah, great Bugs.
Exactly. So yeah, the first of all, good Bugs. But to catch people up, basically the algorithm is really upset that LeBron didn't go for his idea, because Algorithms and his sidekick, who is the like mascot from Shaw Cable,
basically.
The little blue wave guy.
Yeah, totally.
His whole motivation in the movie was to get recognition, to be recognized, or to be called. He wants people to know how great he is.
They already do. People are addicted to their screens. Like, it made no sense. He was just like, wow, LeBron didn't like my idea, so now the whole world has to get sucked into my world or something? I was like, then wouldn't you die?
So he sucks. First of all, he sucks the sun, I think, into the server world, right?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to catch people up and say, like, he sucks him into the server world, and then he gets to know him a bit or something, figures out, like, he didn't know what his next move was going to be, because he got his next move from the sun's video game. He was like, I developed this technology that perfectly scans people and, like, imports them into the game. And he was like, oh, perfect, I'll take that. And then they do a little bit of, like, kind of poking fun at that, stealing people's data or something like that. He's like, I promise it's yours and we'll respect your privacy. Now go and take all the code apart and figure it out.
I didn't even pick that up. I just thought when the sun was scanning all those famous basketball players, I thought, ugh, nepotism. Nepotism.
He got to scan them into his game because his dad is super rich and knows them all and is great at basketball.
Yeah. He's just on
so
the
then
court.
Eventually, right. Yeah. So then eventually, Algorithm scans imports his dad and then decides his next move, which is to prove how great he is by beating his dad at his son's basketball game.
It made. Mm-hmm. And then
is that right?
And everybody who's watching it, I think, is aware that if LeBron loses, they all die.
So it's a ticketed event. It's a ticketed event, and they all tune in on their phones, but instead of getting to watch it, I guess they were just going to, like, watch a basketball game between a father and son
on their phone. Just like the two firefighters that look at their, hey, buddy, take a look at this. I got the game. We just put that fire out. You want to check out the game on my phone? I got the iPhone 12.
But if that was the actual dialogue, Chris, it would have elevated the film.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, we would have had.
Yeah, I would love to do a little bit of a rewrite on that whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it could have used some. Here's the Chris, best point that could ever be made about this movie called Space Jam 2.
A New Legacy.
It wasn't in space at all.
None. Not even
It had
close.
Nothing to do with space.
There were no
space
aliens.
Space Jam with Michael Jordan has aliens come down from space. Mm-hmm. And they take over the powers of basketball players. And then we get a very fun B-plot, actually. Where we see all the basketball players try to figure out why they can't play anymore. So you got, like, Charles Barkley.
That's fun.
Remember? And then they're all playing, but they can't dribble.
And they can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, and that's enjoyable. Whereas in this one, all of the famous basketball players we got to meet were a little conceited and got to be scanned and talked about how great they were and then became the bad guys.
And here was my question. And again, tell me to pump the brakes if we're going too far. But obviously, we love to see a WNBA, piece of the pie in the film. It was nice to see some players. But why were they snakes and spiders? Like, because they're snaky people? Like, I was like, the woman becomes the snake and the other woman's a tarantula? Like, why?
Yeah, I think that was just an attempt to, like, make them monsters again, like the first one.
But it made no sense, because it was like, was that their inner character? Like, I was thinking way too hard, you know?
Yeah.
Also, like, again, not to go back to the tunes, but did they hate Bugs Bunny? Was he hurt? Did Daffy Duck, like, did they lose contact? Like there was never any convincing that they need to play this game. Like, it wasn't even like they were like, I've been there before, I don't know. Like, they were all just like, I guess we're playing this game now? Like, what the full F-U-C-K.
Well, to catch the people up again, I don't know if I need to be doing the catch-up routine all the time, but, like, LeBron goes to collect the tunes to help him play this basketball game. He goes to the planet, the like Warner Brothers, or wait, what was the, it was the Toon Planet? There's planets within the server.
He goes to
That's the only space that exists.
But it's like, my understanding that Looney Tunes lived in the center of the Earth.
Well, not in the server. In the server, they have their own planet of animated stuff.
Yeah.
But for some reason, everybody had left Bugs Bunny, like you alluded to. They must hate him or something. But they were just banished from their own planet just for because.
And
they
and,
didn't really and Bugs explain stayed, why the, they were split up.
Yeah, and Bugs stayed just because as well. And
yeah.
None of that is unpacked. And also, it's never really unpacked. Like, LeBron makes a list as a cartoon man, so who cares? I don't care to see him as a cartoon. But he makes a list of like people on his team, like Superman, Spider-Man, whatever.
Yeah.
It's never really explained why he can't have them.
No, he literally goes, doesn't he go to the Justice League?
No.
That's where he gets Daffy Duck.
Yeah, but
yeah,
why
well, that's another thing that's unclear. Why are all these Looney Tune characters scattered out throughout all these Warner Brothers property?
Like Stacey
why
said,
is
not
Grandma
unpacked.
In the Matrix?
Yeah. It's like
why?
When MacGruber made a list of a team he had to assemble. MacGruber made the list and he got everyone on that list. They all tragically die almost instantly in a van. Yes, but he got them.
I'll tell you why. Yeah, you know, didn't Grandma's get the list. In the Matrix. You know, I think there's a new Matrix movie coming out.
Oh, there is a new.
So
no, there 100% is.
So that's why there's so much Matrix talk in this movie in general. Yeah. It's like to remind us of the Matrix and that we love it.
Do we?
It's
do
the,
we
the
still?
Whole thing. The whole movie is a billboard. The whole thing. Front
look,
to back.
To Stacey's point, like I don't understand why when he went to go get Daffy Duck, he was doing some Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
Why none of the Justice League was at all interested in the story of like saving humanity and his son from an evil.
Yeah.
That's their whole vibe.
That's the bag of the Justice League. Oh, your kid? You need to produce your son? But he kept saying that. Produce my son.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You better produce my son in 5 minutes. But none of them were like, I'm busy. You know, an opportunity for a joke there. You know, Spider-Man going, I got to go kiss a lady upside down. Something.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll take Daffy Duck, though, from this. And why the grandma from the Matrix? Why not the rest of the Matrix people?
I mean,
you could have had a Keanu there.
A Keanu.
And let me tell you about Grandma. She already proved that she's pretty limber. It wasn't like all of a sudden on the court she had a special skill. Like she was like flipping, kicking, busting ass from the top.
Yeah.
So I didn't care about Grandma, you know?
Yeah, she didn't have much of an arc.
Yeah.
No.
And another thing, it goes back to one of the first points about LeBron not really ever playing basketball in the game. He is there a lot. He's always on court. I think he scores 3 baskets. Now, what the points were all over the. I don't know the rules or how this the point scoring worked in this particular basketball game, and maybe that would make the stakes a little bit better if we as an audience could understand that. Oh, he shot it to the moon, and then
it bounced.
Wile E. Coyote, you know, split himself into 5 people, and they all jumped through TNT and blah blah blah. Oh, that's 1,000 points. We know that.
That would have been classic.
Yeah, there was no point structure.
That would have been really cool, actually, if like at any point LeBron worked with the Toons. Because
he
was kind of like no silliness, but that never translated. It meant nothing. And like the Toons never like had a moment where they got to be silly and got all these points because it was very unclear.
Well, and I think the stakes are dumped right off the top just by how the game starts. It's very hype, by the way. Like, the graphics team did an excellent job. They're about the only group that did do an excellent job in the movie.
Yeah.
So it looks very
cool.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I'd like to come back to that point.
okay. Apparently, I'm about to get hard disagree with it on that. But what I'm saying is everybody gets digitized into the world, and they're freaking out. And that's when LG... Well, hang on. And that's when Algie announces that they all go to the basketball game. They get digitized in random spots, and then come. They follow the Game of Thrones characters to the basketball game. So it's half human beings and half IP. And Algie announces the whole thing of like, if you beat if you beat me, then you are all free. And if you don't beat me, then I get to keep everybody. And then they add the extra thing of the stakes. Like, okay, well, if we lose, everybody stays stuck in this server forever. Well, that's not too bad, says the Toons. And then he adds on the addendum of like, and I'll delete the Toons. So the stakes already are a little weird and a little like staircase of stakes. And then after the initial shock of the fact that all these people might be trapped in a digital world forever, they're right back to cheering and enjoying the basketball game.
And I would disagree that there was shock at the statement that you're going to be stuck there, because
there was a big gasp. Don't you remember that?
No, I don't.
There was probably a gasp.
There was a gasp. They cut to...
It was probably ill-acted, and that's why it didn't land. It was probably bad.
There was a gasp, but they went back to cheering for the brother, the opposing team.
That's the other thing about this. Okay, listen, we love Bugs Bunny, or the question is, do we? I don't know if... Do we need the Looney Tunes anymore? Yeah. I think I liked Taz when I was a kid. Bugs was always so smug. But if you're gonna have the Looney Tunes in, have them as the Looney Tunes. Like Space Jam, the first one, they're cartoons. They're not like digital form of them where we can see what their hair would look like
if they were
like living, breathing stuffies that you win at the carnival. Just like... they don't need to look that way. I think it would have been cooler to see how technology has advanced to have still them as cartoons. The Space Jam 1 still looks cool to see the cartoons running around in real life. And we just didn't get any of that.
I agree. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
I mean, we got them to see them in certain clips of movies.
I would agree. I feel like it missed... like, you know, there was no like nostalgia, there was no callbacks, there was no references, there was like very few and they weren't well done. And also it felt like just a commercial. So it's like they've digitized these characters to like seem furry. And I was like, oh, is this just to sell like stuffies? Like it wasn't cool. Like I do love the Looney Tunes. I felt there was a huge missed mark here about like where like cartoons and entertainment is now and where they were before. And that sort of could have lent the mind of like how LeBron views success and how his son now views success, and that could have like
weaved
through. Had anyone taken a little break,
a second pass at that script,
have a salad, have a bubbly, and think it through,
sleep on it, and go back. So wait, Stacey, are you telling me that you didn't appreciate any of the foghorn leghorn material that was in the movie? Don't you think kids want to reconnect with foghorn leghorn?
Also, like, I also felt like the relationship between Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny was like a partnership, where LeBron, I don't think, acknowledged them at all.
He didn't care. He didn't care about Bugs.
No, but he learns in the end to be, because he learns to not be fun. He learns, or to be fun. He learns in the end. Yeah, like, it's his fundamentals. And then in the end, he's like, never mind, it's tune time. You guys do your thing. And then he watches as they do stuff.
But he doesn't learn because he wins by doing his move. So it's not even like he goes to what works for him and it doesn't work. And now he has to get silly. He never gets silly. I feel like LeBron was like, I don't do toon stuff. I'm not doing toon stuff and you're not getting it from me. I feel like that was a conversation.
Yeah, I like that the actual pitch for Space Jam was at the start of the movie kind of thing, right? He was like, I don't do movies. I'm a basketball star. And they were like, oh, let's use that scene in this movie.
And we'll show why he shouldn't do them anymore.
Can we talk about the biggest biggest entrance and I would say the biggest letdown in the entire film?
Yeah, I know what we're going for. Okay, go for it. Tell us.
So they go, we got Michael Jordan. They're in the locker room. They're down. They're hurting because LeBron has hurt their heart in a way that he'll never grasp. And then someone goes, we got Michael. And we all in the audience, we clutch our popcorn. We go, did they get Michael?
Like, that's pretty sweet.
Did he, you know, drop the dice and the gambling debts for but a couple days to come on set? Did he? Did Michael J. apologize to Pippin? Is he here? Is he doing it? And who is it? Not Michael Jordan. Michael B. Jordan. Okay?
Who?
Sexy. fire.
I was very excited to see. I let out an audible woo in the theater.
And
a lot of people did.
Six to midnight, am I right, fellas? Boing.
He should have been the bad guy, maybe, because I feel like kids probably relate or know Michael B. Jordan better than... And then you could have had a whole bunch of Michael Jordan mix-up jokes.
Sure.
With the bad guy.
I mean, he referenced Friday Night Lights, and then he left.
But
that children know Michael B. Jordan from.
Friday Night Lights. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Can't lose.
And the thing that was crazy is Michael B. couldn't have cared less if he lived or died, eating popcorn. His life's on the line.
Okay? Oh, yeah. He was about to be trapped forever.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been fun if he had joined the team, full eyes or full heart, whatever? I'm all
started playing football.
No, but
he might as well have.
Yeah, and everyone confused
all the points he would have said he could have played football.
He basically comes in, does Friday Night Lights, and then goes, "All right, see you later." It's like your life's on the line, and they're down by like a million points, I guess.
Yeah, and still Superman or the Justice, like they haven't tuned in.
You can't Pennywise, the freakish Pennywise extra who was doing like going for the Oscar or at least a daytime Emmy nod.
Oh yeah, all those extras needed to just turn it down a little bit. It was just a sea full of extras dressed as Warner Brothers property.
There's going hard.
The mask was in there, just going for it.
Absolute pant loads.
They really leaned into the Game of Thrones stuff. There was like six or seven references, and they're really hoping that we still care about Game of Thrones, but they didn't get the memo that we've all deleted that from our consciousness, that it's like it's done now. We're done
it's
with that.
It's over.
Reference and move on. You get one.
Shouldn't they have been digitized as tunes or something? Like, had the audience been like, I don't want to be a cartoon. I want to be a human. I don't want to live in a screen. Lesson. Let's get off our screens. Let's become humans.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it.
But instead, we had this, like, it was like as if they went to a carnival and they said, hey, carnies, it's Halloween night. Let's have a good time. It was the wild, wild west of too much. Can I say that?
And
it was,
yes.
You know? I hated it. Any look at the crowd made me visibly upset.
See, now I kind of liked the looks at the crowd, but not in a quality way, not in a way that it was like, oh, it's good that they're here. It's just like I really enjoyed the respite from the plot.
Can I ask you a question? Are you a Disney person? You like Disney stuff?
Yeah, I like some Disney stuff.
You like going to Disneyland, you see people dressed up and we all pretend it's not some teen who's like, I love Broadway.
Yeah, I like to think of them as the characters.
Then this tracks.
Okay, but then things really heat up because the game is not going well. They decide to do more toonish stuff, so they're now they don't blow. I mean, the goon squad, is that what they're called? The goon squad. They blow a 1,000-point lead pretty rapidly. Which is crazy because, like, yeah, you're doing toon stuff, but they're still doing their stuff. The score should continue going up, but they instantly dominate them.
Yeah.
And then they take a quick break to have a Porky Pig rap battle. That's all that Porky Pig does. So I guess was Porky Pig booked as the, like, halftime show?
You better believe he sets himself up to have a rhyming couplet with That's All, Folks. Oh, and then mic drops. You better believe that happened.
I see Stacey so moved that she's just shaking her head silently there. I think that's moved by it. I think she thought it was impressive.
I should probably officially apologize to Chris because I was watching this movie beside him. And I kept leaning over and saying, this movie absolutely sucks.
I didn't get to formulate my own opinion on it. I just had to go, I guess it does. I guess it does suck.
I think
I'm being told it sucks. It must suck.
Listen, I was speaking it out loud. Porky Pig rapping was maybe the saddest thing. It's like when my mom forced me to take a hip hop class, right? I said this doesn't feel right, and it doesn't feel right to this audience. I don't think anyone needs to be watching me shake my flat ass.
It had so It had so much of like a corporate vibe to it. They just could not shake the like the I don't know what you'd call that, the focus grouping or the whatever it was, the feeling, the corporate stink was all over that one moment.
I just, what makes me upset is we know there was like people around a table going, we nailed it. We got it. The draft.
And that was that was the big song we got basically out of the sound. Out of the soundtrack was a major part of Space Jam. We had hits after hits. It was one of my first CDs that I got with my own money. I can picture the back of it in my mind right now. You know, you had some people who are absolutely canceled on there singing hit songs like "I Believe I Can Fly." We don't talk about that anymore. But we had Seal on there and like Method Man, Red Man, because they were like, and the classic Space Jam song, which I don't know why they just didn't play that one.
Or remix it at the very least.
Yeah. Why didn't Porky Pig just sing that? Like, I don't understand.
Everybody get up. It's time to jam now. We got a real...
What didn't you understand?
Wouldn't it have been cool if, like, they were super down and out and, like, the old, like, goon squad came back and they were like, remember we learned our ways and we're here to help you all out.
Oh, aliens.
And I was just like hoping Bill Murray would come or something, but it seems like LeBron doesn't need fucking friends and he doesn't need his support system. Also, I hate to bring it up, no one cares about this daughter. Did she even have a name?
Daughter. I think it was daughter.
Yeah, we call her daughter.
Yeah, daughter and wife.
Mm-hmm. And there was just no stakes. And did that other son feel jealous? Like, he loved basketball, and yet he's getting no attention. You know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, I suppose.
That's true. The other brother who loves basketball and is fairly good at it, also not even involved in the game to save his brother.
No.
He could have been helpful.
No, absolutely. And then, like... And then the son only realizes maybe this is not a good situation when his dad starts having, I would say, not even that much fun. He laughed at them like, you know, someone like a Subway sandwich guy made a joke and LeBron was like, okay.
Like okay. And then he looks over at his dad and he's like, oh no, his dad is beating me and he's having fun.
Yeah.
Like, no, not really. kind of.
LeBron never needed his son's skills. Like, they never did come to a meeting of,
that's
like,
true.
I understand where you're coming from. And, Dad, I understand where you're coming from, you know?
That's true. And so, go ahead.
No, his son's name, this is just a side point. His son's name is Dom, which makes it the second film in a row that I watched with a guy named Dom in it talking too much about family. Fast 9.
Fast 9, by the way.
For those asking, fantastic film. You know, when you get Ludacris...
They go to space.
Ludacris and Tyrese.
They go.
And let me tell you, they sell the shit out of it. And I believed every second. And are they floating in a car with no wheels? Damn right.
Now, bring that back in, one thing you said that I love is that like at no point did the son's skills ever like help out. They kind of just created the problem. Mm-hmm. And that Algy then exploited. The decisive moment where they win is also based not on they remembered a move that LeBron does, but the reason that it works is because the son, that was a bug in the game. So in other words, the son didn't program it well, so it makes the game freeze. So he's like, all right, here's what we need to do. We're going to do that move that freezes the game so it'll somehow stop Algy from cheating. Mm-hmm. I assume Algy could have just patched that glitch out.
You
but
think
he
would have? Yeah.
Didn't get around to it. He was too busy creating some new sort of like Black Mirror-esque technology to zoom people into a server. But they decide like, okay, we are down by 1 point. We need 1 point because apparently that's only worth one. Just like getting a basket, I guess, is just 1 point. So
depends on how you do it. There's lots of style points involved.
It's all style points. So bonus. I don't know why he didn't get a little couple style points for some insurance, but he does the final glitch. But the problem with the final glitch is it deletes your character. So stakes through the roof right now. And then they ruin the stakes. They ruin the stakes because LeBron is like, oh, it's okay. I can do it. I'm not a character. So I won't get deleted. I'm a real person.
Hilarious.
And so stakes
which was the
over.
Funniest line of the whole movie.
Funniest line of the
I'll
whole movie.
I'll do it. I'm not a video game character.
I'm real.
The like... stakes over. Stakes of the movie over. So then he goes to do the move, but Bugs Bunny is like, no way, I'll do it. But why though?
Yeah, you already established that LeBron
it's way safer.
And then you're like, I think it would be better for the plot if I killed myself at the end of this movie. That's what I've decided. I'll
like
sacrifice
if you're outside...
myself as a, some sort of shitty Jesus. And
it would be just Bunny like, is shitty Jesus.
Yeah. I'll die so that all of you can live. Yet...
and let me
somebody
like
had already
were,
said, "Oh no, no, everybody's, you know, it'll be fine." He's like, "No."
It wasn't sad. I mean, like, I love Bugs Bunny, and the only thing that was sad was when he was glitching on the ground. No one helped him, and LeBron was like, "I got to go back home." And I was like, "What the fuck, you do? Bugs Bunny's glitching on the ground for
he's dying.
The kid doesn't care." LeBron doesn't care. Like, there was no moment of compassion of, like, what has our family problems done? Look at the consequences of not loving each other.
Well, and it's accidentally proof or a metaphor, I guess, for our current generation's level of interest in Bugs Bunny as well. Like, the son had at no point had no interaction or recognition of Bugs Bunny. And then at the end when he's dying is like, I don't know, it's like a digital cartoon character that my parents liked. Like, yeah, he's not interested in saving Bugs.
Bugs Bunny to this little kid was like a weird uncle at a wedding going, I'm your Uncle Dave. I'm your mom's sister's boyfriend's ex. And it's like, okay, Dave, I guess. Like, what the...
Remember Uncle Dave?
And everyone's like, Uncle Dave. And it's like, you keep saying it, and it's still not going to click.
It's not working for me.
Who's Uncle Dave? This weird, what was it? Stupid Jesus?
Shitty Jesus.
Shitty Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Dave? Oh, he's shitty Jesus.
No.
He once saved all of us.
he did that one man show behind the Mr. Sub, Shitty Jesus.
Uncle Dave.
It's he
Uncle
glitched
Dave.
Out to save you and your dad when you guys had that internet basketball game. You remember that? No.
Tries to tell the kid about being in Korea. I remember being in Korea. And he's like, classic Uncle Dave.
Uncle
am I right?
Dave, please. But it's also crazy that like there was just no character arc for anyone. The Toons, which in the original Space Jam, it's like it's pretty impressive. Like everyone is fully formed. Like, you know, and there wasn't any sort of form on the wife of LeBron. She just kept going, win this game for our son. It's like, okay, what's your name? What do you do?
I think
like,
she was wife.
She's a wife. Yeah.
I think she was wife, and then there was little girl.
Yeah. It was so poo, and I felt bad for Bugs, and you thought maybe there would be a monologue from Bugs or bring it all together. And then we don't even see anyone excited that they get to go home. We don't see Michael B. again.
Yeah, oh yeah, true. They should have one more thing about him getting to go, and that could even be for Warner Brothers a good moment for him to announce his next major project or something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's like, now I can
really
get back to
that.
Set on Marvel's whatever,
yeah,
whatever
exactly.
You want to say.
Black Panther 3.
And I think that there was a lot of missed opportunities there. Like, for instance, the son could have like reprogrammed Bugs Bunny rather than
showing
them...
his skills. Someone,
yeah,
help
showing
Bugs.
His skills.
I'm
rather
only...
than having him just show up at the end, like, remember, I don't die sometimes.
Yeah, I told you I could never get hurt. And I'm like, but you did. Okay. And now why are the Toons back in Toonsville?
Yeah. And also, why are you in real life? That technology for sure doesn't exist.
And LeBron seemed unsurprised
right.
by that.
Yeah.
Is it?
LeBron did not mind at all.
No.
That's a good point about because of the movie, the way they set it up. How do Bugs Bunny escape the computers?
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about they live in the Earth now and Martians from outer space. It's all computer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good point. How does that technology exist that
backwards?
It doesn't exist backwards, and that
it also
is
doesn't
the
exist forward.
It doesn't work.
And here's the thing: people might be listening to this podcast and going, "What are they talking about?" I agree. We are trying our best.
I would hope. I'm sorry, cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, like, if you think we're just three old farts trying to figure out some Gen Z masterpiece, you're absolutely wrong. Because a Gen Z or younger, whatever they're going to be called, is staring at that asking even more questions. Like, we are dumb in comparison to what young people are thinking about this movie.
And a young Gen Zer will never know. Unless they watch Space Jam, the original, the sexual awakening that it was to be a young boy seeing Lola Bunny.
Okay. All right. Can we please talk about, and Stacey, walk us through this in a safe way so that we don't, you know, step on any landmines here.
Let's talk about some bunny titties.
OG Lola Bunny was beautiful.
All I'm saying is.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And Stacey, like, maybe this is brave of me. You can tell me how brave I'm being, but I think that women and women bunnies can be extremely sexy and very good at basketball, and
Listen, both are valid. Yes, of course.
And all that happened in Space Jam 2 was that Lola was stripped of any sexual appeal she had and reduced to a less than minor character. She spoke less, I would say, in this movie.
The real tragedy isn't the desexification, which you could make a good argument for why they probably should have done that.
Sure, of course. The real
tragedy is that they just reduced her and, I think what Stacey's pointing out, all the ladies in the movie to extras.
And also, I want to point out, and not to get too deep about it because, you know, but like Lola, when they find her, is like doing the Wonder Woman thing, which I thought, like, did Gal Gadot just say, I'm not doing this because it was the only animated thing? But she's like, I want to become this warrior. And then two men are like, freaking help us, come do this basketball game. And she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll give up my whole life. Because this guy I've never met, LeBron, who's not even talking to me or looking at me, wants me to sort of change my whole life for him. So I guess I will. And then she still gets the title because she's doing good for men. And then LeBron was like, just shut the fuck up and probably just dribble, you know, just do what you're good at we'll come to you at the end.
That's so funny. I'm going to be a warrior hero. Two boys, come help us with our basketball game.
I'll give it all up. I guess I'll do it.
So funny.
Yeah. And then Lola's like, where was her cool ponytail? Like, where was her you know, like, there was never a moment where she shone. She was just like, ouch, they hurt me. Ouchie, ouch.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that, like, yeah, it was, it's that classic, and, you know, not to be that guy or whatever, but maybe it was all made by guys. Do you know what I mean? It's that classic thing of like, well, what do we do? Let's just not make her sexy. We better do that. And then they just forgot to do anything with the character.
Her character at all.
Now, I want to say, like, in general, I think it was, like, I think it was that no one had a character arc. Literally nobody. Like, the story is, it makes absolutely no sense. Tip to taint. Not at all.
Yeah.
Tip to taint.
Tip to taint.
Actually, remove that. That didn't feel great.
No, that is in. In fact, we're going to cut that and make it a social media. That's going on isolated on Instagram.
Well, guys, follow my new podcast, Tip to Taint with Stacey McGonigal.
I think that the best thing to come out of watching Space Jam New Legacy was you saying tip to taint.
You know what? I got to say the best thing that came out of watching Space Jam 2, I refuse to say it's a real name. Like
Peter New did. Legacy, yeah, understood.
Will not. I had some amazing snacks. I had a beautiful Coke Zero. I had like just enough ice in it. It was perfect. Do I wish I would have gotten a nacho double cheese? Of course. Sure. But I was super happy with the popcorn that I had chosen. So that was delicious.
And that is a good point. Yeah. We haven't been able to go to movies in over a year.
Yeah.
There was just the general excitement of even being there at all that, you know, should have made the movie better, but it didn't because that movie sucked shit.
Guys, I think we've been talking a lot about, like, you know, representation is important in these kinds of movies, right? And in our critique of it, representation should also be very important. And we are a couple of, like, I don't think we're the age. I think we can all agree we're not the age of people that this was made for, but kind of maybe it was. Like, all the references were for us.
But I would say overall it is directed at the younger generation trying to get new fans into Looney Tunes like we were.
But they didn't make them cool. So, I mean, I think they're dead. You know, they just...
But we could get the opinion of
this is what I'm
favorite guest.
This is what I'm getting at. I think we need to check in with an actual Gen Z or whatever Gen. My friggin' nephew is. So let's check in really quickly and see what Kyle, my nephew, thought of Space Jam: A New Legacy.
Do you want me to phone him up?
Or yeah, phone him up.
Yeah, I'll phone him. I have his number, which is not weird. It's ringing. The phone number to the boy who I have in my phone is ringing. Kyle,
what's up, fellas? What's going on?
There you are, buddy.
Dude, how what's going doing? On? Oh, you know, I'm freaking thriving, dude. It's freaking summer. Digital school. Who's that? Don't know her. She's dumped. My heart is dead to her. Ice cold, frozen, solid. I've just been kicking it back with my boys, wearing shorts, little tanks. I'm having the best summer of my life.
I can't help but notice you've got a background on going there that's very apropos of what we're about to ask you about. We got some Space Jam in the background.
Dude, I want to thank you, honestly, for acknowledging the effort I've been putting into my Zooms, all right? Digital school ain't no joke, all right? Now, if you want to keep it up on the tops of the social level, you got to get some killer Zoom backgrounds. Look at this. We got some bugs over here. We got some like titties over here. It's freaking sick, dude.
That's Lola Bunny, and she's and she's just fine.
And we respect her. She's an amazing basketball player. I can't wait to make her my wife.
Okay, all right. So you still find Lola Bunny to be like a sort of a sex symbol for
honestly,
the modern kid?
I want to tell you, like, obviously, like, you got to respect, like, you know, the creators and the graphic designers. Would I have loved a bigger cup? Of course. But I'm not a greedy man, you know? Absolutely not. I'm all about personality, titty second. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But second, still high up.
Still
though.
Second.
Like, so
still
love second. Them high up. Love them high up. Am I right, Peter? Chris,
yeah, okay,
you get it.
All right, cool, cool, cool.
Two
okay,
little
cool,
nasty
cool.
boys. All right.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Listen, Kyle, overall, yeah. what would you... You know, what would you score the new Space Jam movie? Did you like it? Did you like the soundtrack? Did you buy it with your own money? Like, how's this thing influenced you?
Here's the thing. All right. Walk with me, fellas. Walk with me.
Okay.
If the walk gets too far, let's sit down and take a break.
Yeah, fair
all right?
enough.
You know, the way that I think about Space Jam 2 is the same way I think about just like having full-on diarrhea, right? Now... At first, you're like, oh, my stomach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then the next day, you're like, baby, I got to restart. You know, there is like, you know, my stomach's feeling light and bright. And that's kind of what I felt like Space Jam was. Like, I wasn't having a good time, but have I had a good time talking about the movie since it ended? Of course. You know, so I'm happy it happened. And I can't wait to forget it in about 6 months.
So you're saying that you had... Yeah, the movie was so bad it made you just enjoy the next day.
Oh, yeah. You ever seen a terrible movie and then you're like, are you catching this shit? And then your boys are like, freaking poo-poo. And then you just, you know, you go nuts about it. It's been a blast. And I want to thank LeBron for all of his efforts.
What was your favorite, like, reference that you totally understood? Like, Michael B. Jordan, did you get his reference? Did you like The Matrix?
Well, I got to say, I love the basketball. I knew at least that that's what it was about.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful it was there. And it just taught me that if I want to get anywhere in life, that I have to remove all fun and listen to everything my dad says, or I'm going to get sucked in the internet and we're going to have to play ball.
Okay, fair enough.
I guess, that's pretty much the takeaway of the moral of it. Listen to your father.
Listen to your father, and also, quick question, like, I need one of these compression bands because I've been playing b-ball all wrong.
Yeah, are you an active, you play basketball a lot?
No, but, you know, when you Google stuff, it's like, I'm scared about my veins, you know, maybe I'm not, like, taking care of them, maybe they're swollen, I don't know.
Okay, are you a bit, it sounds like you might be a bit of a hypochondriac.
I don't know, Chris. Let me ask you a question. Have we been living through a global pandemic? Can I get a vaccine? Absolutely not. Am I expected to go back to school unvaccinated? Yes, I am. I'm terrified.
See, and Chris, this is the thing I'm realizing. Like, when we make movies for kids now, we have to take into account the stuff they've been through. They're being traumatized weekly.
Right.
And it's just not the same experience as us. That's why we like the slapstick tunes. But that's not for them anymore.
When I watched this film and I saw at least 300 bogus extras doing the absolute most, being absolute pieces of crap, it was like all the nerds from my school got together and got to do Halloween for like 4 weeks. And to think, not but one mask, and to think that all those extras, that Pennywise specifically, got COVID tested probably rapidly. How many times you think? 12? Sickens me. Absolutely sickens me. Who got COVID on that set? Who got COVID on that set?
Yeah,
because that was absolutely filmed during the pandemic, probably in a day. It seems like that thing was filmed in a day.
Yeah, I kind of think they got it done in about a day.
Yeah. I can't go to my friend Donovan's house, but that freaky weirdo Pennywise got to eat craft services and walk around and talk about his one-man show? Ridiculous.
All right. Well, I mean, thanks, Kyle. Listen, it's been great to get your perspective on it. And I'm really sorry that that movie was the same as diarrhea for you.
Yeah.
Listen, they all can't be hits, right? And, you know, Peter, I want to thank you for taking the time out of what I can only imagine to be a busy schedule to connect with your family. I'd like to thank Chris for staying in touch with me, texting me, teaching me about emojis.
It's not weird at all. And,
I have asked him to give me your number several times.
You shouldn't have to give you your family's number.
Yeah, that you should have that.
I know, but at some point I have to be given it. Then I can have it forever.
I've given it to you. How many times have I been on this that podcast?
I know. That phone died.
Third time.
The phone died in the contacts. You know the contacts. It's hard to get the contacts to transfer.
I can't believe this. This sickens me. This sickens me. Absolutely.
Kyle, I'm
sorry. I love you, Peter. You make it so hard. It's like, no. Chris gets it. It's effortless with us.
Yeah.
We're talking friggin' skateboarding the Olympics. We're talking about ollies. We're talking about kickflips. We're
Fortnite.
Talking about, you know,
all the
Fortnite.
Time.
Stop texting my nephew.
We talk about Fortnite.
It's creepy. Fortnite. He's young. Yeah. You're an old man now. You're in your middle age.
What?
Oh, yeah, I guess I would be.
Chris is 36. He's thriving. He's trying his best. I mean, like I told you, Chris, one step in front of the other. That's all we got to worry about. You know what I mean? That and boners and sweatpants. And that's all we have to worry about.
We don't have to worry about that so much anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, you guys.
Yeah.
It's nuts over here. It is a wild summer.
You got to be careful for those. I remember that, Kyle. You'll be good, though. I don't know. I don't really want to get into talking about your sweatpants boners, but you're good.
Who's being weird now, huh?
I'm not trying. I wasn't
the one
trying
talking
to
your nephew about sweatpants boners.
If no one's going to lead me through sweatpants boners, if no one's going to hold my hand and tell me what to expect, how will I learn? Right now, they're nuts.
It's just about, it's tighter underwear so you can like tuck it up. I don't feel comfortable talking about your boners with you and with Chris in the room.
Let alone holding your hand and talking you through it.
We're
either.
Not going to hold your hand.
No, gosh, no. Gosh darn no.
You know, I guess that's the hardest thing about growing up, you know, if you think about it. Like, you know, there was a moment where it was the last time you held your parents' hands. You know, and you didn't know that was going to be the last time.
Yeah, so Space Jam 2, A New Legacy is still in theaters today. So if you want to go see what we were talking about, check it out in theaters.
Oh, yeah. And should have mentioned this somewhere in here at all. Spoilers, by the way.
This time, it's different. With Peter and Chris. This time, it's different.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!